So many of you probably are unaware that tomorrow is the deadline for the payment of provisional tax. Personally, me and many others, we understand PAYE. We've paid that for much of our lives. But this provisional tax thing, for those of us who are not employees anymore, has kind of snuck up on us. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to discuss with Professor Peter Bauer, economist from the University of Johannesburg, what exactly it is. So, Professor Bauer, thank you for chatting to me on Chai FM this afternoon. Appreciate your time.
Good afternoon. Thank you for inviting me today.
So let's start like really simple. Provisional tax for dummies. What is it in plain English?
Okay. So tax that you, well, I mean, tax on income that you earn outside of your salary. That's basically it. So if you're earning some sort of interest payment from your investments, maybe you're earning rental income, all of that falls now under provisional tax. So it falls, any form of tax that falls literally outside of your salary. That's it. So the salary just goes into your PAYE, but your other taxes that we pay, now that's where you have to register as a provisional taxpayer, and that then becomes now a little bit more of a challenge, especially for those of us who are used to years and years
exactly
of having your salary paid deducted, as you mentioned.
Yes. No, I'm one of them. This is the first time. And had somebody just not mentioned it, honest to goodness, I had no clue that this was even payable. What is the philosophy behind the tax? When do you pay it? When is it finalized? Just take me through the lifestyle of a year of this tax.
Okay, so and you're speaking to an economist now, right? And so from the economics perspective, you've got, they break your payment down into two major payments. You've got one towards August, and then you've got this payment now that is due at the end of February. The whole idea, the philosophy behind it, yes, is to break up that payment that you have to pay to SARS. Instead of doing it in one lump sum, you are breaking it up into at least two or more payments. There's a third one where you've got a few additional weeks, I think, later on in the year, where you can then close the gap. However, the idea then is to reduce that tax burden on the business owner or the person who's earning an income from that. Now, I mean, we're used to every month it just gets taken off.
Exactly.
And if you're with electronic e-filing, in most cases, we don't even really do much anymore in terms of your filing. It all gets automated, etc. But for the provisional taxpayer, a little bit more different. So you have to estimate in advance, listen, this is how much I'm going to be earning during the course of the year. And then you sort of make those payments, but you're doing it and it's sort of like in advance of that final payment, so that when that final payment does come through, you're not going to be dumped with this massive heavy load. That would be, and so yeah, it's to protect that provisional taxpayer as well. Just give them that little bit of, shall we say, relief as well, and also for planning. Really great for planning from both sides, from both government side, in terms of how much they can estimate coming in, and also for the person paying the tax, how much we estimate that we're going to be earning. So we now have a good idea what we're going to need to set aside to make those payments, especially those final payments.
Okay, this is like the sun is rising for me. I had no idea that this was done in order to make my life easier, so I wasn't hit with one big old bill at the end. Is this obviously then subject to adjustment at the end of the final period?
Absolutely. So they'll estimate and they'll go along and they'll say, okay, fine. You know, if you fall with outside of what you estimated, then you know that's where the big challenges come in. And I think they've got their calculation right now as we stand. I can't remember if it's 80 or 90%, but I think if you're with outside of 90% of what you estimated you'd earn, then obviously you might be subjected to like penalties and things like
exactly
that going forward.
Yeah, how did you know?
And
that's exactly
where the challenge comes in, because we have to guesstimate more or less where we're going to be. But on the other hand, on the other side of the coin, and this is really great, there's a lot more transparency involved in this process. And also, especially for small businesses, et cetera, they can also estimate again, put aside, okay, what are the costs going to be associated? They can make plannings regarding what kind of deductions and structures that they're going to be needing to put into place later on. So when they meet that, when they meet that final payment, they've got at least some sort of structure on which to work.
This is making sense to me now for the very first time. Thank you. Is this following best practice worldwide? Is this just what other jurisdictions do?
That falls a little bit outside of my knowledge. So I cannot give you an accurate reflection. However, in terms of the operations of our financial authorities, our fiscus authorities and our Reserve Bank, and of course our tax collectors, our SARS, we are very much right up there in the front line when it comes to practice and, shall we say, fiscal policy management and monetary policy management. I mean, this falls more into monetary now, but into a large degree, this is very much now looking at where our financial institutions are definitely considered highly rated around the world. That gives us a huge amount of credibility. And this credibility obviously creates a lot more security for us going forward, especially if we're looking at sort of attracting additional investors into the country. And again, you know, it ties up with the grey listing and all of those key factors. But the financial authorities are definitely obligated and we fall within those international standards. So yes, pretty much so.
Prof, very importantly, consequences. Let's assume somebody misses tomorrow's deadline. What does that mean? Are we talking penalties, interest, audits? How serious is this?
Yes, it is serious. You know, one of the key issues around the SARS and SARS operations is to really clamp down on payments, people trying to avoid tax, so tax avoidance, people trying to find loopholes and get away with tax. So tax collections, and they've mentioned it both. Well, they mentioned it in the budget speech very highly. There was discussed, you know, SARS has been able now to collect a larger amount of tax. And that is actually, from that side, it's benefited the economy. Because in a sense, we're not necessarily now looking for an additional tax to pay for the shortfall. So, but for households, I mean, it just means like, you know, so much so as income's concerned regarding additional incomes that fall outside of your salary. I mean, just very careful planning and estimating, working with a good accountant to make sure that all of these ducks are in row, because you will be hit with penalties. And you will be, the SARS, to a large degree, I think SARS is very accommodating, but at the same time, they're very strict rules and guidelines that you have to adhere to. And so while they are open to reason, at the same time, they're also very strict about how these things are managed. So if you're missing your deadlines, yes, there will be penalties. There will be interest payments for outstanding amounts. That is all given. It's just sad. It's not always the other way. I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but I doubt they pay you interest on
if you've overpaid,
into the system.
So, you know, payments of $10,000 that could be sitting in your couch in cash, you should probably declare that.
But it's not earning interest, remember. So if it's not earning interest, you don't need to stress.
Okay, final question for you. For anybody panicking today, what's the one thing they should do before midnight tomorrow?
Make sure you pay your provisional tax. Okay, just make sure you're up to date. You don't want to go in there and have to. And really, I think the best advice is make sure you're working with a strong accountant who understands the processes and the ins and outs. They make life so much better, and even though for some people they consider that maybe an additional cost, it's an additional cost well worth spending. We've got really top accountants. Let's work with them. These people are there to assist us and to help us.
That can just be quite expensive. Professor Bauer, thank you for your time. You made provisional tax fun. Who thought that could ever have happened? But you did. Thanks for your time this afternoon. Appreciate the input.
Thank you.